everyone. I'm Jen.
I'm Anthony, and this is Bottom Bracket Biking Podcast.
A couple's guide to biking. Hey guys, welcome to episode 21.
Today we are talking Glenwood Gravel with Chris McQueen, the guy who kind of puts that on. Say hello, Chris.
Hey, everyone.
One thing I kind of like to do with the people that we talk to is ask what your favorite bike is at the moment. A lot of people have multiple bikes.
Oh, man, that's a good question. So I am building a bike right now, so I really hope that one ends up being my favorite. But the bike that I have enjoyed the most this last season has been my Focus Mares. It's a cyclocross bike, and I've used it as my gravel bike for the last few years, and it's probably the one I'm on the most.
Well, yeah. That makes sense since we're talking about a gravel ride today.
I like that question because then people who know bikes can be like, "Oh, you're that kind of person."
you're the kind of guy who buys a bike that's no longer sold in the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, unique. I like that.
You put on the Glenwood Gravel Ride. Last year was that your first year you did it?
Yeah, it was. 2020 was a good year to start a gravel ride.
Yeah, and it did end up happening, right?
It did. We planned on it being kind of small, so it didn't end up being too difficult to do, and so we were able to put it on, yeah.
So a little bit about your background for people who don't know you. You're not originally from Iowa, is that correct? Or you lived outside of Iowa for a while?
Yes, I've bounced around. My family and I have bounced around for a while. We did our schooling in Idaho, and then I got a job at a software company out in Michigan. I was there for 4 years, and then got a job at another fairly large software company out in California. I was there for 8 years, and with them, ended up with an opportunity to move to Iowa. So I took that opportunity, and now I'm with another software company, but now I work remote. And now we're here.
What part of the state are you in?
We're in Glenwood, which is the far western side of the state. We're in Mills County, so just south of Council Bluffs.
So did you move to Iowa and then just decide, like, let's put on a gravel ride, and heck, that sounds like a good idea? Or were you into gravel riding before? You know, what kind of led you to do that?
Yeah, that's a good question. A little bit of insanity, I'm sure. So I've loved riding bikes since I was young. I grew up in Utah and right up against these big, huge Wasatch Mountains. And so I would get on my KHS Trail, chromoly aluminum framed mountain bike with 1.95, inch wheel tires on it, not very big, but that was as kind of big as they were for the time, with the little bar ends on the end.
Mm-hmm. And tree catchers.
Yeah, tree catchers, exactly. Because mountain biking in Utah, you don't have to worry about trees.
That's a good point.
Well, that's why the mountain bikes now are, they got the 4 foot wide bars, look like a semi truck driver.
Yeah, exactly. Mountain biking back then was basically go up on fire roads, and it was just a lot of climbing and a lot of descending, unless we went out to Moab, which we usually tried to do a couple times a year with the buddies, and we'd go out to Moab. But like through the trees, big drop enduro style mountain biking, that was not a thing for me growing up. It was mostly long distance rides, 80 mile rides through the mountains sort of thing. So I kind of think of myself as I've been a gravel rider since I was 14.
Yeah. That honestly sounds more like gravel riding than it does like current day mountain biking.
Yeah. So then you came to Iowa, and was there just not any events in your area?
No, there were. A lot of them were over in Nebraska. I enjoyed those, the opportunity to go head over and head a little west. There's several gravel rides in and around Lincoln and things like that. And just great community, fantastic. But as I looked, I live in the Los Hills, and this area is, for Iowa, is pretty hilly. And that's something that I enjoy. When I was in California, a lot of my road riding, which is what I did mostly there, was climbing hills. And so I was looking at these great events that were happening in Nebraska, and I'm like, look, this is good, but I think I actually have an area that might be even more interesting to folks. And I was surprised that there wasn't more riding, big group riding, I guess, that was happening in and around Glenwood. And so yeah. I thought, this could be cool.
And so then last year was the first year you put it on. How did that go with COVID and everything? About how many people did you have show up, and, you know, did you have vendors and stuff?
definitely not that big. So I posted it on my birthday in March, and it was the beginning of March, and I was super excited. I've been thinking about doing this since the end of 2019 and kind of like figured out kind of how I might do it and registration systems, how I wanted to do it, who I need to talk to kind of be okay with the county and things like that. And so I posted it at the beginning of March, and then just everything went crazy with COVID. And I had initially said, look, if I can get 50 people there, I'm going to feel fantastic, because I know nothing about this. And so with COVID, we started looking at what we could do, how we could do it. And I started looking at some of the guidance from other races around just social distancing, talked to our local Department of Health for the county. And she said, well, you're outside and are you 6 feet apart from each other? I'm like, a bike's 6 foot long about. So yeah, we're definitely 6 feet apart from each other most of the time. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, yeah, no, you can do it. So we kept planning on it, kept promoting it. And sometime after July, we got a big hit, a lot of interest. I think people were starting to warm up to just wanting to go out and do things. And so many events have been canceled that we filled up our 50. And so I opened up another 50 that filled up. We had 99 people registered when it came race day, and 87 showed up.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Was it a good day for the ride?
It was gorgeous. Yeah. And that was one of the things you can't plan for. You can't plan for the weather. You can't guarantee it. There's no control over it. But luckily the route is mainly was mainly head south and then head back north. And we had a wind from the south heading north. So a lot of it was a bunch of hills heading down into the wind. And then you got a nice, good, solid tailwind on the way back. And so people came in with huge smiles, you know, lots of big smiles. It was really rewarding.
Listening to you talk about kind of how people signed up, it reminds me a lot of the Southwest Iowa gravel grinder ride, the Swig ride.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Corey puts.
Yeah. You've talked to him.
Oh yeah. Corey McElpine. Yeah. He is a great guy. When I first started trying to do this, I asked him a whole bunch of questions, and he asked me a few about website stuff, because I'm fairly technical. And so, yeah, I did Swig last year, and that was a really good day.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't the year that it was 110. No,
no, no, that was the year before.
So yeah, Corey, the first year, I think he had like 50 people, and then he had like 100 people, and then he had like 150, and he's gotten to the point where it's just like more tons and tons of interest now.
Yeah, he's done really great.
So did you only have the one distance for your first year, or did you do multiples?
Yeah, that was something that I wasn't quite ready for. I set up one distance, and it was 50 miles. And a lot of the reason for that was just me wanting to make sure I knew what I was doing. And I had an idea for the ride. As I was building it out, I really wanted it to be something that anybody could do. I mean, obviously you have to train and prepare for 50 miles. I don't think it's good for anybody to just go out and get on their bike and say, hey, I'm going to ride, you know, 50 miles through the hills, through the Los Hills with no training. So I was hoping that the length would kind of tip people off that, hey, you do need to be ready for this. But I wanted it to be something that was really approachable to anyone. And I wanted to keep it simple for me. So stuck with 50 miles, and I marked the course. I had arrows set up throughout it to help just kind of make sure that people who maybe have never used a cue sheet could navigate the course, or anyone that maybe wasn't quite at the point to having a GPS bike computer on their bike. So marking the course and only having one course, I felt like that was going to just simplify it, make it really easy for everybody to get on, have a great day in the saddle, and finish. You know, it's a lot more fun when you finish.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And yeah, having done the first year that I did Swig, I didn't have a bike computer, and I rode the first like 20 miles, I think it was, Anthony and I rode together. No, we rode the first 30, and yeah, you did the first half. Split off. And I don't think that was the year that it was really hot, and there is other issues there. but I don't think I could have kept going the state I was in relying on a cue sheet. So having the course marked, I think, like, I don't think people realize just how much easier it is for your first gravel ride.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're planning on doing next year. We'll get to that. But the one course option is probably really approachable for new people, because it's not like they can just follow the people ahead of them. They don't have to worry about, oh, maybe that guy's doing 150 miles, or maybe he's doing option D. Like, no, just follow that person, and at very least, we'll both screw up together.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
Which may not happen.
Yeah. With only 100 people on the course, it did provide for some density, but that was hard as well, because we did the race as a time trial setup. So we had them leave in groups of 5 to 6, again, just to promote that social distancing. So that meant the people were already spread out, and I didn't want to lose anybody on the course.
That's actually really, I don't think we've talked previously about what precautions you had done for COVID, but it sounds like you really went above and beyond. I mean, you know, since it's in the country, you could have just said, nah, screw it, people will show up. But I'm kind of impressed that you had done that much.
Oh, well, I think maybe it's because of a little bit of my corporate upbringing and what I do professionally, just thinking about large groups of people. And I had set up to have a nurse at my aid station. And I asked her, I was like, what do you think we should do? And she's like, well, you know, masks within reason. She was fairly pragmatic about her guidance and things. She's like, more than anything, just don't force people to get into big groups, because I think everybody needs to manage their own level of comfort. And if they're signing up for something, you know, they're already willing to sign up for a slight amount of risk. And I think anytime you get on a bike, there's a slight amount of risk. So I think we, as cyclists and gravel riders, we know how to manage a little bit of our own risk, but not encouraging, you know, not encouraging a place where people would feel uncomfortable to be there was the main goal. So I beyond just having a time trial start, small group starts, the only real, what would I say, you know, extra precaution that I probably wouldn't have done if I wasn't in a COVID era was just, when they pulled up to the parking lot, we had their bags all ready to go. And so nobody had to get out for registration. They just pulled up to our tent. They said their name. We handed them their bag, and then they went off and, you know, set up their bike and got everything ready. And so they didn't have to go stand in a line for registration. And we just called out times and said, okay, hey, group for 7:35, come on up. And then groups would come up then.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to highlight that, because that might be another thing that you get to deal with next year. And so people knowing that, hey, did a good job last year, that might generate interest, actually.
Oh, well, I'm kind of all ears for what it is that's going to help people feel comfortable coming out and riding, because I'm not a super competitive guy. I didn't really do a lot of racing back in the day. And the first year, Glenwood Gravel wasn't a race either. I just built it as a ride. And so I'm more interested in just getting folks out to go have a great day, and whatever kind of helps out there, especially those that are new to it. That's what gets me really excited. We had families sign up. We had young people sign up. We had people that had never done that type of distance sign up before. So that was also part of the fun of it all.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, we've talked to, you know, Sarah Cooper, Steve Fuller, people who have put on numerous races in the past and kind of gotten their feel for race directing. Since this is your first time putting on a race, was there anything that, you know, surprised you about putting it on, or any lessons learned that you weren't expecting?
Pick the right day so the weather's perfect. So lessons learned from last year, or things... I think for me, it's trying to find ways to test your theories. That's something that's always really interesting to me. Is like, I kind of want to fail as fast as possible. I want to make my mistakes, learn from them, not get anybody in trouble or me in trouble or anything like that. And then learn from it and move on as quick as possible. So The only thing that I wish I hadn't done is that I had this idea of creating these little finisher kind of wood pucks. I basically took some old firewood and cut them up into little, say, half inch tall discs, and then I was going to brand the Glenwood Gravel logo onto them, and I could never get that darn brand and the things to all work together. And I spent more than I wanted to time on this. And then I started thinking about it, and I started talking to people. I'm like, hey, what do you really like when you get back from a ride? And they're like, I don't care about the finisher medals or things like that. I'm like, well, what about, would you want something like this? And they're like, yeah, that's interesting, but I really wouldn't care. It wouldn't be a big deal. And so I kind of bailed on that idea pretty quick. And I'm glad I did, because I think there are other things that we take away from a good race, and having a good t-shirt, having a good meal, meeting some new folks. That's the more valuable part of the whole experience. And having a bib, just having like a bib to kind of mark the occasion, I think is great. But you know, those finisher medals and stuff, I wish I had maybe not had even started down that route.
I've seen that before too, where you'll put all this time and effort into all these things, you know, like getting the food or maybe some shirts, and it takes a little while. And then you get to like always the medals, where you have to put like, you have to thread it, or you have to tie it, or you have to stamp it, and you realize,
or
like,
all of those.
Yeah, or all of them. And you're like, I could do this how many times? Like, no, you can't just send it off and have someone do it for you.
And most people want a banana and a beer.
Yeah, that's what people want.
Yeah. Like, just feed me. Just feed me.
So you said when we were starting that one of the reasons you got into this was wanting to meet new people or bring new people out on gravel. So how did that end up turning out?
Oh yeah. That was great. There were definitely two parts there. One, thinking that Los Hills, great place, bring people out this way. And the other part is I kind of wanted to find my tribe. I kind of wanted to find people that loved this gravel or loved biking as well. And so the two ways that it kind of worked for me is it kind of worked in both areas really nicely, because we did get a bunch of people out, and there's some really fun stories there. And but I also really loved working with the volunteers. I met some great folks. Joe Murphy has been a friend that has kind of come out of the gravel area. He rides a lot and lives in this area, and he helped out a ton. I had some good friends, Chris Kaufman and Aaron Wiggum, these folks that I would ride with and scout things or scout parts of the route. And so they came out, and I had friends from Michigan come down and help out and volunteer, which was just a treat. And friends from the area help out with the aid stations, their excitement for it. Like I said, hey, would you be willing to do this? And they're like, yeah, totally. And then we get done with it, and they go, that was so much fun. It was great seeing these folks and doing it. That was really cool. So I definitely got the whole, like, hey, I wanted to meet people, but also, you know, make some friends. And then seeing people come out to this area. And one of the stories that I really enjoy is we had a couple great photographers, Jeremy Buss and Sarah Booth. And we came out a few days, about a week or two ahead of time before the race, and about the same time of day that they would be taking photos, and we scouted some locations. And both of them are from Lincoln. And Sarah, several times, she's like, I didn't know what to expect coming to Iowa, but I did not expect something this beautiful. And that just, I was just like, I just felt like I was like showing people kind of a secret or something new and exciting. And that was really fun. And there were several other experiences kind of like that.
I know that the Villisca ride is what I just keep thinking about. I mean, until I went there, the only thing anyone ever heard about it was because of the axe murder house that happened in like 1913. Like, who cares? But I go there now and I think like, oh yeah, there's that little restaurant on the square that like we all swamped to eat at. There's the, you know, the roads we went on. Like, the stupid axe murder house is like 13 on my list now because of all the other things I've done while I was there. I mean, even the campground we stayed at, it's like, I didn't know there was a campground down there. Yeah. Campground, yeah, like 10 minutes away.
And I think there's something really cool about that. Going to these small towns in Iowa that are quaint and beautiful, and they have a community, and they're actually very welcoming. They want you to come in. I think it's almost like the spirit of Ragbri that kind of comes out with Iowa. But one of the nice things is this ends up being a one-day thing, and you get to spend a little bit more time there. It's with a smaller group, so it's maybe not quite so hectic. I was impressed with some of the folks that came out for the Glenwood ride. We had families. We had some folks that, you know, I wasn't quite sure they were ready for it. I'll tell this story. I have a picture of this guy. I wish I knew his name. I could probably go look it up. There was one guy, we were starting in those group starts, and he kind of pulled up in something that looked a little bit, you know, not your standard newer gravel bike. It was
not your carbon race machine.
It was not. And I am not judgy. Like I have some nice bikes. I have some bikes that are not so nice. I have boys that trash bikes. And I think a bike is a tool to get a job done, and you pick the right tool. He had something that looked a little bit more like a city cruiser, and he had some pounds on him. He was not a small guy. He was pretty, but he was there. He was happy. He had come with some good family friends that had all signed up that had never done this together. One of the guys said, "Hey, let's do this," and wrangled his younger sons, a daughter-in-law, and this family friend to go and do the Glenwood gravel. And I looked at him, and we kind of caught eyes, and I gave him the instructions for the day and said, "Well, good luck to you. We'll see you when you get back." And I remember when he did get back, and this group kind of came in pretty close together, and he came in, and I was trying to make a point of asking everybody, "Hey, how did it go?" and kind of have a chance to meet everybody. And he pointed at me. He's like, "You didn't think I was going to make it." I looked at him and I said, right. And so I'm like, "You're right." And dang it, you proved me wrong. And I am so dang happy. I'm so happy that you proved me wrong. And we just had a really good chuckle. And he told me he just had a fantastic day and it was great. And that was really cool. That was really cool. I've never been so happy to be proven wrong, because that was great.
That's such a fun story. Cause yeah, I feel like a lot of times you do get the really serious bikers out on gravel and not so much the people who might just be in it more for fun. And I've been really enjoying seeing more and more of the weekend warrior type show up at events like that.
Yeah. Well, and what I liked about these guys is this group is, and I, when I first decided to do the gravel ride, I offered to do training rides, weekly, something where people could come out and go and do parts of the route and things like that. But then with COVID, that really kind of fell to the wayside. So I posted virtual routes. I said, "Hey, if you're looking to train for this, here are four or five routes that will help you get ready. Here's one that, you know, here's the first thing you want to do. You want to know how long it takes you to ride an hour on similar terrain. And here's an example of similar terrain. And you want to know what it's like to climb 1,000 feet. Like how long, like what does it feel to do a route that's got 1,000 feet of elevation, right? Kind of get what that feel is like. And then figuring out what it takes to do 2 hours. And just a couple of these very simple training preparation milestones to try and hit. And that group, they said, "Hey, we did your training routes and it helped out a ton. We felt completely prepared for it." And I didn't get a lot of other feedback from anyone else on those training routines. I had two or three other people mention them and do them, especially the 1,000-foot challenge. And just having those little milestones, that was also really cool to just see people prepare for it seriously, have enough guidance to feel like, "Yes, I can do this," and come out, show up, and have a great day.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No, I feel like that's something that honestly would be beneficial for me to do right at, like, at the beginning of the season, just getting back into it, since I haven't been riding much gravel this winter. You know, my gravel bike's on the trainer right now with slicks on it. But no, I think that's awesome, getting more people out on the course.
Yeah. My advice is always just build up, you know, start small. If you can't ride a bike for an hour, ride a bike for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll get I had a buddy, he always said, look, if you're going to go do a 100-mile ride, you need to make sure that you feel comfortable doing 100 miles during the week. Yep. And that's a good benchmark, right? You know you're going to at least finish. If you can get on the bike enough to get that mileage in during a week and do that consistently, you know, 3, 4, or 5 weeks ahead of time, put in the miles, basically, you're probably going to be in a decent level of fitness to finish. You may not be competitive, but that's not everybody's goal. A lot of times that competition is with yourself, and finishing is the most rewarding thing that you need. And that's where you have to start.
Yeah. I have yet to win a race.
Me too.
Finished a lot of them though.
Yeah. That's my goal. I mean, that's always my goal, is finishing and being better than last time. Average a little faster.
Yeah. My wife teases me that the only thing I've ever won is a hairy chest contest on our honeymoon. we're on a cruise, and anyway, long story, but I don't win a lot of things, and that's fine.
I wouldn't even win that. So
this is true.
But let's talk about what you're going to do next year, because it sounds like you have some bigger plans.
So I guess the first question is, I'm assuming you're planning on doing the Glenwood Gravel Ride again.
Yes, the city was really, and the Chamber of Commerce, Mills County Chamber of Commerce, was really happy about the event, how it was ran. They really liked it. They want to see more of it. We basically filled up the one local restaurant, the Buck Snort, and they kind of basically said, look, it'd be great if you could fill up a few other restaurants in the area. So with kind of their blessing and help, we're thinking, well, would it be possible to get 300 people there for this year? And we don't know. I think that might be a stretch, but that's probably as many people as we could handle. So we'll stop it there and see what we can do.
What are you looking at for the route distance? Are you sticking to the same thing, or is that changing at all?
We're going to try that as well, because we have more people. We're moving the start line into a little bit closer in the city at the Glenwood Lake Park. It has camping. It has a nice restaurant facilities and things like that. It's right next to the high school, so we'll have plenty of parking, which was one of our limiters last year. So for this year, what we want to do is we've got three restaurants that are willing to do stuff, and we kind of take everybody's order ahead of time. That helps the restaurants be prepared, and we'll see how it goes. And with routes, we're going to do three different routes. We're going to have a 50K, 100K, and a 200K. And the 50K and 100K are going to be they're going to be things that we've done a lot. The 200K, that one's the one that I think is going to be the biggest challenge to plan for and set up a good experience with. That's a distance that I don't do a lot. I've done 125, 130 mile rides through the Santa Cruz Mountains, so I know what that feels like, and I've done it with some serious elevation and things. But that's it's just a longer beast. So I try to. When in doubt, I try to just be kind to people at first. And so we'll see how many people sign up for the 200K, but I'm hopeful that it'll be a good, fast, fun course for everybody.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I don't care to do more than about 100K. That's kind of my happy place. Actually, yeah. 50 miles is my happy place, but I extend it to 62.
So it sounds like that's just the tip of the iceberg, though. What else do you have planned for next year? Or I guess it's this year now.
Yeah, this year. So when I was looking at how much fun it was and how much I enjoyed putting on this race, I thought, this is something that I want to do more of. And there were a number of reasons for that. I grew up doing plays, and so you learned so much from your opening night, but that you really hit your stride when you got to do the third, fourth, fifth performance of it. And by the end, like, that fifth performance, like you were really doing, you know, something cool. And I looked at what the race was like. I looked at kind of what my schedule was and what I wanted to do. And I thought, well, what if it was a series? What if there was a series of races? And what if, and I was looking at a little bit of the financials as well. And so I was like, well, what if I did a number of them? And that was, the thought of it was a bit intimidating, at first, but I went through kind of some fail fast conversations there, which have some interesting stories, or there's a little bit of a story there. But we're gonna do five. We're going to do 5 races this year in different places all over Iowa. And I'm not a very creative naming person, so I'm calling it the Iowa Gravel Series. And we've got 5 cities signed up. We've got Silver City, which is here in Mills County. It's close. And then we have Walk-On, which is in northeastern Iowa. It's almost kitty corner completely across the state from where I am, about as far away as I can get. Then, yeah, good planning. And then we've got Albia, which is southeast of Des Moines, about an hour. And then we have the one of the ones I'm really excited about. I'm excited about all of them, but Pisgah is north of Missouri Valley. So it's about an hour and a half-ish, an hour north of me in Glenwood, so about an hour north of Omaha. And that is some beautiful area. You got the Los Hills State Forest, you got Preparation Canyon. It's a lot of hills. Like it's going to be 4,000 feet of climbing on a 100K course. And it's going to be really pretty.
Yeah. That sounds like a ton of work.
Those do all sound like pretty cool locations though. Like from what I know of Iowa, you've hit the areas that have, you know, elevation gain might be a little bit off the beaten path. The west side of the state, you know, with the Les Hills is gorgeous. I need to make it over there for the rides this year, but no, that'll be fun. And I mean, as for the Iowa Gravel Series, it might be simple, but you're not going to confuse people. That might be a really good name for it.
It might be. Yeah. I wanted it to be something where, it takes you to kind of interesting areas. None of these places that I know of have had a gravel ride set up there, or at least, you know, a big organized ride. Silver City, there's a group that I rode with quite a bit the last couple of years, the Limestoners. They're fantastic. And they would often start out of Silver City. And it was actually Ed Finnan, one of the guys there, and Pat Schoening, who were like, and Chris. Ed was like, hey, we really need to have a Silver City ride out here. And when I told him that I was interested in putting on a couple different races, he's like, you got to do Silver City. And so he's been great to help out with that and kind of bring that race to Silver City.
So do you have like people in each area who will be kind of helping you out then? I mean, or do you just have a traveling band of volunteers?
No, it's definitely with the traveling that means you have to kind of like find different groups to work with. And thankfully, as I've gone to larger towns like Walk-On and Albia, they've got a chamber of commerce and they're super excited about this idea. When I said, hey, I'd like to put a race on, here's how many people I'm thinking, this is what I'd like to do, they were super supportive and said, yeah, we'll help you out with volunteers. And they really love the opportunity to show off their city. So it's, mm-hmm. it's a really good partnership and we work well together. The smaller places like Silver City and Pisgah, they don't have a chamber of commerce, but you know, these towns have city councils. And when I went and talked to their city council and said, hey, same conversation, they're like, yeah, let's do it. And they just love the opportunity to show the rest of the world this beautiful place that they live in. And these people are living there by choice because they're great areas with great communities. And they think it's a little crazy when I say, hey, we're going to have people riding bicycles on your gravel roads. And most of them look at me and go, those are really steep roads. And I'm like, I know, that's why they want to come and do it.
Yeah. So it's funny. We talked to the director for IMBCS, the series last week. That's our previous episode to this one, actually. Mm-hmm. And his role is more of a kind of coordination role. And I mean, it sounds like if you keep this up, that's what you're going to end up as, is just coordinating people more than having to put all of them on. So I'm very curious to see what next year this conversation is going to be.
Yeah, me too. This is one of those things where I wondered, you know, did I bite off more than I could chew? We'll see. I'm encouraged by the group, the people that I'm working with, and being able to spread it out. Basically, it's a race a month. Hopefully I'll gain some experience and some just operational excellence. Just get good at doing something. When you repeat it and do it something over and over again, you get better at it. Like that's one of the things that gravel teaches us, or biking teaches us, right? You just keep doing it and you get better. So hopefully, I don't know if I would sign up for doing any more personally. you know, that's, it kind of fills up my summer. But my family, they're really excited to go camping and do this. My boys, I've got a 16-year-old and he'll be 15, and a 15-year-old boy. They're really excited to come out with me and help out with these. And my 15-year-old, we were talking about doing photography, and he's looking forward to being one of the photographers for the races. And my, you know, my 16-year-old, he's interested in the timing and setting those things up. And so kind of making this just something where I get to bond with my boys makes it that much more exciting, and having good people, you know, just working with people I love.
Yeah. Ignoring your family to do races does not end well for people.
No.
I know how that goes.
Sounds awesome that, you know, you've got your boys involved in getting them interested in helping.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're great. And, you know, it's a short time to have them within. I can kind of see that time coming close where they head off to college and things. So having these, and we've traveled and we've done a lot together, but to have the opportunity to kind of work together and put something together, they take a lot of pride. They love wearing the sweatshirts and the t-shirts that have the Glenwood Gravel logos on it. And so
that's really cool too.
It's fun to do it together.
So I'm guessing we've got a whole bunch of people who are curious about where or when these rides are going to be. So can you tell us what your series is?
Yeah, we've got all the dates set. So if you go to iowagravelseries.com, the site is live. There's a few things I still need to work on, but hopefully they'll be done by the time anybody's hearing this. it's pretty much there. But yeah, date wise, basically we've got Silver City in May 8th. Then the Walk On 100 is in June on the 19th. These are all Saturdays. Albia is July 17th. Pisgah is August 14th. And the Glenwood Gravel should be September 18th, unless we have homecoming that day. And homecoming in Glenwood, like a lot of towns in Iowa, is a big deal. And so if homecoming ends up being on the 18th, I might have to push it back a week or forward, probably a week back. And we'll go from there. So the registration for the Glenwood ride won't open up until March, so that they give it time for the football calendar to get put together for the high school.
And I'll have a link to that on the description of this episode too, so people can go to it. We're getting kind of long here, so I got one last question for you.
All right.
And that is, do you have a series tracking for this? Is there like an overall winner, or is it just a for fun type thing?
I wish I had a perfect answer for you. So what we're looking at right now is that we'll definitely be awarding first, second, and third place for men's and women's on each of the races. They'll get a prize. And we're working with sponsors to see if we can get folks some good prizes, but at least they'll get a free entry into the Glenwood Gravel Ride. So if you, mm-hmm. if you win one of the other races, you'll get free entry into the last race of the season, or used anywhere along the way. Actually could be fine. We are looking at timing. There's some things with sponsors that we're trying to figure out there, either having renting timing equipment or maybe investing in our own and getting that in. We haven't quite gotten into the whole point system and how close we'll get there, but if we can get accurate timing, we can kind of make it work. So we'll kind of stay tuned for that, but we'll let people know where we are on that as soon as we can.
Yeah. And the main reason I ask isn't because I expect it, but I just edited the podcast for IMBCS today. And that was a big thing we talked about, is how the points stack up. And it would be cool, just shooting off the cuff, but it would be cool if eventually this turned into all the other races were part of an overall series. I think that would be kind of a neat thing, or maybe your role is just keeping track of points and putting on your one race instead of putting on five.
I'm hearing that Anthony is volunteering to keep track of points.
No, I'm volunteering Chris to do less work.
Well, those both sound like really good ideas. And I think that would be cool. I think there's something that in terms of looking at progress and being able to compare a little bit and have that standing in a community like Iowa, and see how things are going. I think that could be really interesting. And most of the races in and around the area, there's usually 100K length. And I think, you know, that allows you to kind of compare apples to apples year after year or whatever, and see how things progress. It's, you know, it's a number, and I track my miles and I track my heart rate and I track a lot of things. And you know, those numbers can make it fun. And if it doesn't make it fun for people, then that's okay. We don't have to worry about the numbers either.
Well, and I think it's fun because you can see throughout time, you know, how you do with compared to other people. I had this guy in high school who he was really close to beating me. And I found out later that because of IMBCS and I can see where people stack up, he's still beating me by like 3 seconds after 8 years of riding.
Let me clarify what Anthony said first. This guy has been beating Anthony by like 3 to 30 seconds for years, not the other way around. You said he was really close to beating you.
Whatever.
He's but been mad about it for guy. About a decade now.
Is this someone you know? Is it a close relationship, or is this just a name on a board and you're like, gotta beat that guy someday?
I don't think he even knows who I am. I just keep seeing his name right next to mine on all these like events. And it's my fun, the most fun rivalry I have of just like,
One of these days, Anthony's going to beat him and freak out, and I will find it hilarious and probably no one else will care.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite things to do. So yeah, we'll probably end up talking to you at the end of this or maybe early next year and see what your plans are.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic. I would love it. Thank you so much, guys. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, thanks for reaching out, and we'll be at a few of the rides, most likely.
At least. This is getting me very excited for summer. You know, it's 0 degrees out right now, and I think that's the warmest it's been all day here. So, like, thinking about August in Iowa sounds pretty good right now. And, yeah, I'm really excited to come try some of these rides.
I was going to ask if there was any closing remarks you had.
Closing remarks is, you know, go sign up for a ride. It doesn't have to be the gravel series, but I think everybody should, you know, sign up for a couple rides this season. There's a lot of things that have already filled up because they had a bunch of people registered from last year. So I think this is a good year to go try something new. And I would say go try something new. And I got a bunch of things that are new if you're interested.
Yeah, but go learn what Albi is all about. When was the last time you went there?
Well, I think that's everything that we have for today. Until next time, you can find us on Instagram at bottom.bracket.biking and ride dirt, not mud.
Thanks for coming on, Chris. Have a good night.
Thank you.